Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to a pre-Christmas edition of Let's Weekend. This is not. This is going to be our second to last show for the year. I, of course, am your host for the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logi. Yeah, so say hi, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
As you know, the holidays are coming. They're just right around the corner, and holy crap, am I exhausted.
Haven't even done anything yet, and they're like already exhausted.
Yeah. So as you know, this is our year-end show is going to be the Dazer update show is going to be on Saturday this year. And I'm actually, Phil's actually not going to be hosting that one. Dan Reb is, right?
Yep.
Right?
That's the plan.
Yeah.
So, in the meantime, between then and now, of course, we got some stuff we want to discuss, some various political shenanigans, including a certain judge in Alabama who doesn't know when to quit. we also got some stuff out of both Canada and merry old England. Technically, they both are in the same country, even though one doesn't want to admit it. And, of course, we got our media shit, and, of course, we're going to be talking a bit about a certain film in a certain franchise that came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably the most divisive since the prequels. But we got all that and more on this edition of Let's Weekend. So, start us off. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
For me, it's been mostly a week of media, basically. Been watching, getting caught up on the Grand Tour. They released episode 3 a few days back, so I watched that. It's still very entertaining, mildly informative,
mm-hmm.
as, these shows tend to be. Also started watching an interesting show on the History Channel called Nightfall. It's kind of like, if you think about that show that they got, the Vikings.
Yeah, it's basically, it's about the fall of the Knights Templar, right?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, the Knights Templar basically fell because, they had apparently a certain king of France owed them a lot of money.
Yeah, we'll see how they get there. So
yeah,
But yeah, the show so far it's pretty good. I'm actually enjoying it quite a bit. There's only 2 episodes out, so it could all go south fairly soon. But for now, it's actually pretty entertaining and graphically violent because that's the kind of thing that they make these days. So yeah, good show there. And of course, my other TV thing has been catching up on Mr. Robot. Finally finished season 3.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, you need to get on that. I mean,
I'm just gonna watch it without him. He's so mad.
At this point, if he's not going to make the effort to, be there and watch Mr. Robot with you, you could just leave him behind.
It's all about the timing.
He'll have to catch up on his own.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. It went places I didn't expect it to, which is, Yeah, there's one character you'll meet late in season 2, who's you find out quite a bit more about at the end of this season, and he's interesting. Well, I'll just say that. So that's been the TV part of my week. I've also been listening to a bunch of music. Weird band out of Germany called Lunar Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if any of you guys have ever heard of them.
I've heard of them once or twice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not too bad. Debut album was this year, and it's kind of a throwback to 90s power metal.
Mm-hmm.
Think Halloween and that kind of genre. It's not bad. It's a little rough around the edges, but still very listenable, and I kind of enjoyed it. Listened to a band out of, I can't remember where they're from. I think they're Texas. They're called Power Trip, and it's like, I heard the first few songs of that, and it's like, yeah, this is Slayer. This is really like a lot like Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
They did a music video for one of their songs, and they basically shot it in 4:3 and on VHS, so it looks like it was shot in 1987. that's awesome. So yeah, good stuff there. But mostly my music has been dominated by the debut album by Greta Van Fleet. I think I've listened to that like 12 or 13 times, cover to cover, so far.
Wow.
Yeah, this band out of Michigan is, they're kind of like Led Zeppelin, a little bit, some influences by Pearl Jam, Rush, you know, it's kind of an amalgam of a bunch of different styles, and it just works in, you know, ways you would not imagine. Singer's voice is just spectacular. Yeah, you got to hear this guy. It's, he sounds like a young Robert Plant, only... Yeah, better, I find.
Mm.
Yeah. So definitely check them out. They've got their videos on YouTube, and it's definitely worth listening to. I picked up the album on iTunes for $7. I think they're doing a debut special right now, so, yeah, worth getting. That's pretty much been it for me.
Cool. All right. Pat, what about you?
Well, I'm back on the fighting games. My disdain for the entire concept of New Year's resolutions is well documented. Not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think if someone is truly resolute, then they should just go ahead and, you know, make that resolution no matter what time of year it is. But I'm at a point right now where the timing is just right, and I really want to increase the social bent of my gaming moving forward. So that's kind of a change that I'll be making going into the new year, focusing more on playing fighting games with other people or getting back into my MMOs, because I've been kind of slacking on that. Teresa knows. So,
yeah.
So basically, and streaming more too, for sure. I need to get more socially out of gaming than I have in recent months. And I know that's my fault, and it's something that I need to do better. So that's something I'll be working on. And hopefully you'll be seeing me around Twitch a lot more often, too. So,
all right.
That's been my week.
All right, Teresa?
I've been doing all the things. Oh, my God, all the things. Super Mario Odyssey, still... absolutely loving that. Played Breath of the Wild all day today. Like, all day. I've been watching season 2 of The Crown. That is a Netflix original. And it's really good. Super enjoying that. I started Mob Psycho 100 and flew through 10 episodes. No, not 10. 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, how is it?
It's good.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. And they've got... what's his name from, you know what I'm talking about? One Punch Man. I can't think of his,
One. That's his name. One.
No, it's not. It's like
Oh yeah.
No, it's the, his pen name is One.
Well, okay.
Yeah. That's the name he goes by.
I think his actual human pre-hero name was Saitama or something like that. Yeah. And they've got a drawing of him, of course, in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the whole psychic ESP thing that they've got going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the problem with the club, you know, the high school club.
Mm-hmm.
So really digging that. And I will be continuing that probably tomorrow. Catching up on South Park for this year, and we caught up with everything on Adventure Time that is on Hulu. They don't have the 4 episodes from this fall on there, so I'm just gonna wait. I'm not gonna put it on Plex or anything. So a lot, I guess. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
I've been busy. I've been happy.
Yeah.
Which,
all right, well,
it's good because it keeps me from trying to pick apart a movie that I saw while I ditched you guys last week. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, what about you?
So today's been pretty shitty. I figured out my external hard drive on my PS4 shit the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go and get a new one.
Oh, no.
At Best Buy, and on the way, my car took a shit. The alternator died going on the highway. It's not great. when literally all the instrumentation just shuts off. Luckily, yeah. I was able to get to the exit ramp like 80% of the way there, park, and then basically couldn't start it again.
Yeah.
So
alternator is my least favorite part of an automobile. It really is.
So I had to.
It's easy to fix.
Yeah, but it always craps out on you on the least opportune moments.
It does, and no more power steering equals pain.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I had to call AAA, get it towed to a nearby place, call my parents to get me a ride, which was weird because I called my mom on her phone. She never answers, so it's like, great. I'm straight on the highway. She won't answer. I call the house phone, no answer. So I just call AAA. Then I call once the guy gets there. It's like, oh, now you're up. And sort of tell her where we're going and even send her a text just to double check. And she goes the wrong way.
Oh, no.
Basically, get on that exit, supposed to go right. So she goes right, but not the entire way. Decides she passed it, goes back the other way. And it's like a 20-minute drive, it should be, and it took about an hour to get there. Luckily, she called my dad, and somehow he got there in 5 minutes. He was already out and about and knew exactly where to go and was there. And $550 later,
what?
My car is in okay shape now.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad it didn't break down on a local road. You could have just pulled off, popped the hood, taken your battery for the core deposit, run up to AutoZone, say, I need a new battery, pay 80, 90 bucks, and then just go back and start it up and get it. When you do that, you have to get your car to wherever you can have the alternator worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to start again.
Yeah. Yeah, so also I was picking up some DVDs for my mom for Christmas, and so she better like those movies.
Oh, shit.
Because those are $550 movies.
I hope you get some Christmas cash to cover that bill.
I think possibly, or it'll essentially be just gifts. Because yeah. I get, like, gift cards and stuff, so.
Yeah.
And this happened probably late enough they can't do anything about it.
Damn.
But we got to return it because you spent all this money. But yeah, that was not fun. I have two things shit out on me today. But now I got a 4 terabyte hard drive on the PS4 and trying to download all the things. Which is not great because now I got to put all that stuff back into the folders they were originally in. I had like at least 300 or 400 games on the external and internal hard drives. So now I got to do it all over again. Yeah, that just takes time. So it's not too bad. As for other stuff that wasn't a huge disaster, well, I watched Bright on Netflix and that's not good. So it tries to tell a story about racism. Involving a world where humans, orcs, elves, fairies, and some, they're like centaurs and some other races. I guess it's like if Lord of the Rings kept going on and things modernized what we have now somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because they talk about defeating the Dark One 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Whatever, and then there's people that are trying to bring them back, and it's It's trying to be subtle, but it's laying it so thick, it's just really stupid.
It looks like it, like maybe at one time they wanted to make like a Shadowrun show or something, because that's exactly what this reminds me of.
Yeah, it just has no idea how to be subtle about any of the racism stuff. So it's just so incredibly thick that it's like, oh God, everybody's just being incredibly racist the entire time. There's not much that's all that good about it. It's like if somehow you dropped like orcs and elves into Bad Boys and then made it a bad movie. Because that's kind of what it is. Like, stuff blows up. The two guys go rogue to try to do the ultimate good thing, even though there's people trying to stop them and all this other weird shit. And it's not done very well. And as for... I tried to wash that taste out of my mouth by watching some Fuller House, because the second half of season 3 is out. And so it continues on where there's the wedding between CJ and Steve in Japan, which has all your typical, like, hey, we're Americans in Japan, let's go do stuff in Japan. Like, find the cat cafe, and then go to this Japanese boy band concert. And other weird shit like that. And they basically, the way things go, just kind of resets everything back to square one. As nothing happens, really. As far as, like, oh, DJ picking out who she wants to be with, and then making a choice, and then going back on it, and then, it's like, this is 3 seasons, you haven't moved anywhere from where you were at the beginning of the show. But yeah, it's pretty good. It's now the 2 oldest kids are in high school, so they're doing all weird shit with that. And yeah, it's pretty good. Also been watching more Mythbusters. I'm in season 6, which has been, had some really cool stuff there, like the MacGyver special, where they kind of essentially had, the room that they have to, like, sort of figure their way out based on whatever items are in there, that sort of stuff. That was pretty cool, especially when they kind of ultimately solve it in a way completely different than what was intended. Where they're supposed to make, like, a potato gun to signal a helicopter and end up just making a kite. That somehow works, but, yeah, it's still going along, still doing good stuff. And I saw that they're starting the marathon, the Christmas marathon of Mythbusters, tonight at midnight. Eastern time, at least. So, yeah, there's a few good days of just nonstop Mythbusters. As for games, I've been playing some Assassin's Creed Origins. Finally got out of the prologue. Killed the first guy that you're supposed to kill, which was all just a weird sequence as... I was trying to be stealthy. Ended up fucking it up, killing like 15 guys, kind of running around, getting stealthy enough to throw them off my tail. Wondering why there was no loot, and then as soon as I beat the boss, it just goes in this weird cutscene. That's how I lasts forever. Yeah.
I try to do it bloodlessly, and all of a sudden I get caught by one random enemy that spots me, and god damn it, now they all gotta die.
Yeah, I haven't had that much trouble with it in Assassin's Creed, just because the archery stuff is pretty good, except when you have to be like really precise to get the full kill hit shot. Being like 80%, but when you do it when this boss is around, all hell goes loose, even if you're not sure how the hell they're seeing you. That sort of stuff. Yeah, now I believe I am in the wide open. And I found it weird that my horse disappeared when I got back into the Animus, as that's one of the pre-order bonuses or whatever it was that came with it. And when it launched me back in, it's like, no, you got a camel. I looked at my inventory and it's like, no, it says a horse. You got me on a camel. What the hell? I found a crocodile lair. Contemplated trying to figure out what to do with that. Ended up just ignoring it. Cause it was like a level 8 croc, and I was level 6. I was not. I didn't want to get fucked up by a crocodile. But yeah, that's been pretty good so far. Looking forward to play some more of that. And I kind of just grabbed some of the holiday stuff on PS4 and Xbox One.
That PS4 sale is ridiculous.
Yeah, and they added like 400 more games on it. I ended up picking up Accounting Plus, E-Valkyrie. What else did I grab? Let's see. I picked up Endspace, Monster of the Deep, Final Fantasy 15, Star Ocean, Till the End of Time. I picked up all five of those for about $50 with the 20% coupon I had. I also picked up the Wipeout Omega Collection and Lara Croft Go, which is all pretty good. I was playing a little bit of that Lara Croft Go, and that it seems pretty good so far. It's like if they made a turn-based Lara Croft game.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. Well, I just started getting into the combat parts, which has been mostly snakes in a spot just looking in one direction. You have to figure out the order to take them out so you're not stepping in front of one and getting attacked. There's lots of collectibles and all that sort of stuff, and it has a nice little kind of lo-fi kind of look to it. Like, very much you can see the polygons in it. Not as bad as like the original PS1 versions of Alara, where she just had just triangles for boobs. But yeah, it's a pretty nice look. And when you get it, you get all sorts of different costumes of other Square Enix stuff. So I have the Rigo Rodriguez suit from Just Cause 3, which is pretty good. They also have like the Deus Ex suit. I don't think there's Final Fantasy. There's like a bunch of other the Western Square Enix stuff that's in there.
Idos.
Yeah. For Xbox, I picked up Tacoma and Astroneer. I had not had a chance to play those yet, but those are two of the most interesting games I still had not gotten yet on Xbox. And both were on sale. I think Astroneer is 15. Tacoma's 10, it's half off. So I was like, okay, those are pretty good deals for stuff I'm interested in. And yeah, that's been pretty much it. Oh yeah, I got Outer Lands finally came out. The video game documentary series from Area 5, the former 1UP Show guys. That Kickstarter succeeded like 3 years ago. And they finally got it out on the 20th. I have them downloaded. I just have not had the time to watch them. I was maybe going to do that today, and then my car exploded, basically. So
that's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I was trying to basically get a quick drive and back by 10 o'clock, and I didn't get home until 12. And it's like, okay, now I got to wait for 3 or 4 more hours for the car to get finished and go pick it back up. And all that. So, yeah, that kind of sucked. So how about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, first things first, my gaming has pretty much been taken up by Neo. And for surprisingly how much I've played, I have not gotten that far. That game is a bitch. It really is. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. It is a lot of fun. And it absolutely feels fair, but that game is, I mean, and I know I keep saying this over and over again like a broken record, and that I do feel like I'm selling this game short. It is feudal Japanese Dark Souls, and much like with Dark Souls, there's a lot of unexpected shit that can pop out at you if you're not paying attention.
And you get good enough that you get cocky and it's like, oh, I got this stuff.
Yeah.
Nope, no, you don't.
No, you do not.
You take one step further and you trigger somebody else. I'm like, oh, I didn't, I was not expecting that guy. Now I'm dead.
Yeah. I will say that there are some things that this game does that Dark Souls doesn't do that I think helps the experience a little bit, which is that, for one thing, whereas in Dark Souls, where if you die, you know, you basically have to go back and recollect your soul. Well, fortunately, in this game, in Nioh, if you die a couple times and still don't manage to get your soul, eventually it just comes back to you. It's like the game just kind of throws you a mulligan. And it's like, okay, yeah, well, we'll give it to you. Also, you pretty much keep all of your stuff when you die. So, you know, you don't have to go back getting new pieces of armor or whatever. As long as you got it equipped and it's in your item storage, you're fine. But other than that, holy crap, it is really hard. It's fun, though. So, it made my top 10. So, so let's see. Other than that, I have been doing more, reading more hard science fiction. I thought I'd been sort of not paying enough attention to that particular part of science fiction. I thought I need to pay more attention to it. So I've got Gregory Benford's In the Ocean of Night. I got some other stuff. I got John Stakely's Armor, which is like a better written Starship Troopers. Let's see what else. I got some other stuff. I can't quite think of it right now. I discovered this amazing band called Keldian. I discovered these guys because they have this really... They're a duo from, I think it's Sweden. They do power metal, but it's like infused with like AOR rock type stuff. And they've got an amazing song called Life and Death Under Strange New Suns, which is the story of the Mass Effect trilogy in one song. It's about 8 minutes long. It's actually really good. It's good stuff. And then other than that, I basically have just been doing a bunch of last-minute holiday shit. So basically I spent the last couple of days this week over at my grandmother's house helping her getting all the stuff set up, getting some last-minute decorations in, stuff like that. So as you can guess, I am exhausted and my back hurts. So that's pretty much been my week.
Yeah. Busy one for all of us.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the holidays. We're all going to be...
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Doing a lot of shit. Have you ever noticed that when you're an adult, Christmas comes at you faster and faster?
Yes.
Because... You know, when we were kids, you know, and we were, you know, the biggest thing when we were kids we had to worry about was school. And so because of that, you know, Christmas seemed to come at like a snail's pace, especially that 1 week before Christmas. That was the worst.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially if you were out of school, because all you had to do was sit around and wait for your presents.
Yeah, because, like, you know, here, I guess I'm not sure how they do it nationwide, but back when I was in school, we got that 2 weeks off.
Yep.
Yeah, that was
great, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was.
Oh, it's great until you get to the other side.
Of the house.
No. When you have kids, check with me Monday and see how fucking great it is. I'm excited now, but Monday.
See, I beat the system by not doing that.
Yeah. All right. Well, has anybody got anything they want to add before we move on?
Nope. I'm good.
All right. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, which is Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, I want to talk a little bit because, you know, it's the holidays and there are certain staples that go with the holidays. And one of those just so happens to be A Christmas Carol. Famous story of Ebenezer Scrooge, who somehow was a member of the GOP a good 200 and something years before they existed. an absolute stingy bastard who didn't care about anyone but himself, getting visited by three spirits and then changing his ways. Now, quick elementary question. Who was the author of A Christmas Carol?
Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens. Now, what was Charles Dickens famous for?
Writing other shit.
Yeah. David Copperfield, Great Expectations, A Tale of Two Cities, Mystery of Edwin Drood. These are literary classics. We all know these. Here's something you probably didn't know. Charles Dickens was kind of an asshole.
Wow.
So, quick little story. Back in 1836, Charles Dickens married a woman named Catherine Hogarth. And by all accounts, it was pretty pleasant. They had 10 kids, for God's sakes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's a vagina, not a clown car.
Yeah.
They didn't have much else to do then.
No. Well, keep in mind back then, this is before...
Everyone was laying hella pipe.
Yeah. This is back when, before he became famous. So, you know, he... Dickens became famous around the time he published his first story, which was called The Pickwick Papers. All this is going around, and then something bad happened. Catherine got fat. Because, you know, you push out 10 kids, well, it's not exactly like you're going to be able to do a push-up or two immediately afterwards. So he did what every other Victorian gentleman of his time went, and he got a mistress, an actress by the name of Ellen Ternan, who, by the way, was 18 years old.
Okay. Wow, she was positively ancient for the day, huh?
That's true.
Now, here's the thing. All of this is already pretty shitty. Now, keep in mind, of course, this is the early Victorian era. So, as shitty as this is, this wasn't exactly...
Egregious
or that unknown. But then, once Charles Dickens was famous, his affair became public in 1858. And when that happened, you know, when you think of this happens, you would think that a person of Dickens' celebrity would try to maybe lay low, try to make sure to let the fires die down before they try to wander back into the forest, as they say. He didn't do that. Instead, he basically went to every single newspaper he could get to and every letter he could write and basically did everything he did to basically blame Catherine for everything. For his behavior. He called her a donkey, an unloving and unloved mother, said she wasn't his intellectual equal, and he even blamed her entirely for saddling him with 10 kids.
Also a reverse Hamilton.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, he claimed custody of 9 of them.
Uh-huh.
So apparently he didn't mind that much. The reason he didn't the 10th is because Charles Jr. was financially independent enough to basically tell his dad to go fuck himself. But here's the part that's really going to piss you off. He does all this shit, and you know what Catherine does?
What?
She doesn't do anything. Because she thought that that would be improper. She just kept her mouth shut and just took it. She never reacted to it. She never rebuffed it. She never even spoke to a journalist about it. The only comeback she ever gave, and it really wasn't even that much of a comeback, was 1879 when she was on her deathbed. She was handed a collection of letters that Charles Dickens wrote to her, and she gave one request. She said, "Give these to the British Museum that the world may know he loved me once." Charles Dickens was kind of an ass.
Yeah, he sounds like a real upstanding person.
He also was really... He also had a weird thing about going to the public morgues and staring at corpses. But then again, that was actually just a common pastime back in the Victorian era.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, there was actually one in Paris that was actually pretty famous.
Hmm.
And not only would they actually let you go into the morgue... and stare at all the dead bodies. They actually had a storefront window where they would prop up fresh corpses.
That's more than a little fucked up.
Yep, that's a thing.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been Brandon's Random Factoid.
I think two of them.
Yeah! We got a twofer.
Yeah.
God, the whole Victorian era was just messed up in just so many different ways. Especially if you lived in England. That place was just a giant mess of contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
But, first thing you realize about the Victorian era is, number one, all that prim and proper shit was literally just supposed to be an illusion. Like, apparently everyone could see through it, but yet no one would call it out publicly.
Yeah.
And if you thought that the Victorians were prudes, oh god, no, they were not. But, Alright, so, it's now time for the show proper, and we start off, as we do every week, with our Asshole of the Week. And who is our Asshole of the Week? It's the House and Senate GOP. Because guess what, folks? They managed to pass that odious tax reform bill. It's law, now, because Trump signed it today.
Or will be in, like, a week or so.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
until we can undo that shit.
Yeah. So, I hope you know someone who's in the middle class, and hope you tell them that hope they enjoy it, because they're not going to be around for much longer.
You know, that's for sure.
So, you probably already know this. It was basically a giant scam. They could not, you know, they did everything they possibly could to pretty it up and make it seem that it wasn't just the biggest gigantic transfer of wealth to the top 1% of the United States in several generations.
And they added more to it to enrich specific people to get their votes.
Yes, they did. It was the most naked corruption you can think of.
Yep.
Now, for the record, and I'm going to be honest here, as far as American politics goes, and this goes back to even all the way back to the founding of the country, greasing a couple of palms is kind of how you have to get some stuff done. It sucks, but it's nothing new. But most of the time, you try to dress it up competently and some kind of altruistic, or at least make it out like it was some kind of fair deal. They didn't even try.
No.
With this shit. They tried to drape it with American flags and apple pie and all that shit, and everybody could fucking see through it.
Yeah, they're going, like,
the majority of the country could see through this shit.
Yeah, some, like, 2/3 of the country does not like this bill.
No. And, but they still managed to get that shit through, and fucking Paul Ryan with his shit-eating grin.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Well, yeah, he gets to masturbate furiously now that he's got this through.
Yeah. Have you heard that he's supposed to be stepping down sometime next month?
Well, yeah, he cashed in his chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically did what he was supposed to do. So yeah, he's like, I can retire now.
He got his, and he knows there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way he has any career after this.
Nope.
So, yeah, he's gonna, you know, he's gonna get out while the getting's good.
Yeah, so if you haven't been convinced yet that there is full-on class warfare happening within the United States, now's the time you realize it.
Yeah.
If there is maybe one good side of this, and this is sort of something that a lot of people have been theorizing, is that this may very well be the point, be the death knell for Trump's administration, because they finally got him to do what they wanted to do, which was do this gigantic spending bill. And the GOP hates Donald Trump's guts.
Yeah,
I mean, we all know this. They're scummy bastards, but at least to a certain degree, they have tact. And you know, it's like they're looking at Donald Trump's like, yeah, we know we're evil, but you're not supposed to say it out loud. But so what has been theorizing is that now this has been done, it means that now the GOP is going to turn on him. because he finally did their bidding, and they don't have any reason to have him around anymore.
Yeah, once the Koch brothers say, well, hey, we have this guy to replace
him. We got ours.
Yeah. We got ours and then some.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I didn't think he was going to be able to finish out his first year. But let's see, he doesn't finish out the second. All right, but that was our asshole of the week. But we do have a hero of the week to watch our mouths out. So the FBI actually managed to foil a terrorist plot that was going to happen on Christmas Day in San Francisco. Apparently these assholes were planning on attacking Pier 39. And the FBI managed to stop them.
Yeah, this centers around a specific person named Everett Aaron Jameson.
Yeah, isn't he like
formerly
this
of the Marines?
Yeah,
he was a Marine sniper, very much a talented sniper. But at some point, was discharged from the Marines and converted to Islam, and basically decided to go all in on being a part of ISIS. And the FBI managed to catch wind of this, have undercover agents sort of talk to him to plan this whole thing, and then obviously pull the rug out under him before he could do anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're planning it sometime the week of Christmas, like the 18th to the 25th. So luckily that obviously didn't happen. Pier 39 is like one of the biggest markets in San Francisco. So yeah, that's been, he had, it says here, two rifles, a pistol, ammunition, fireworks, in his house. Yeah, they got a letter from him, sort of, admitting all this stuff and pledging his allegiance to ISIS and all that. But yeah. So that's the good news. Not have this sort of thing be a damper on Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he kind of chose a shit group to go with anyway, because ISIS is damn near non-existent at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, just for anybody who was curious, on top of being a fundamentalist Islamist asshole, he was also a ginger. Have you seen pictures of this dude?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's, let's just say that he, you know what, I'm not even gonna say it. Just,
oh god, that beard.
Yeah. Why? it looks like he ripped off his pubes and glued them to his chin.
That is precisely what it fucking looks like.
Yeah. It's always these neckbeard douchebags, isn't it?
Well, the FBI managed to do it without decrypting an iPhone, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the FBI isn't so in shambles after all, like Trump constantly claims.
Undermining them.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Mm-hmm. And he is, I am absolutely convinced at this point that Donald Trump knows he's screwed. I really do. All right, now it is time for the proper show proper. And the first thing is from Virginia, the Virginia House of Representatives. There was a vote that happened, it ended in a tie after two recounts. In fact, during the last recount, the Democrat actually won by a single vote.
Yep.
Literally.
I think she lost the first vote by like 7 votes.
Uh-huh.
And they had a recount. She was up by 1. Then they came to some weird conclusion that this one ballot where they filled in both circles for the Democrat and Republican, but then wrote, like, drew a line through the Democrat circle to accept that. And so that's the one that tied it up.
God damn it. It's always somebody.
But it sounds like it was tampered with.
There's a bubble next to one name and a bubble next to the other name. It's not that goddamn hard. But,
Decisiveness.
Yeah, but anyway, so because of this, it is now in a tie, and you think, so what, there's got to be like some very complex or sophisticated protocol to go through now due to state law? No, they're basically going to do a coin toss.
Yep.
Well, actually, it's figuratively a coin toss. In actuality, they're going to draw lots out of a bowl.
Hmm.
And here's the thing. If the loser doesn't like the outcome, they can call for a recount. So there's going to be another recount.
Yeah.
This is going to go on forever.
That's what's going to happen.
At least as long as Florida did.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. It's...
But hey, if you need a proof that, you know, one vote counts.
Yeah.
It can make all the difference in an election.
Well, clearly it doesn't because...
Yeah.
But it's weird that they went from, like, 7 to the other guy to, like, 1 to the other person. And so that in and of itself seems to show there was some shenanigans going on.
That or it's whatever criteria they have for which ballots are acceptable or not.
Either that or all the recounters are smoking crack. I'm not sure.
No, even it's at that point, it's like...
It convinced me of that.
With, when it's that close by a single digit votes, that's not even a statistical aberration here. That shouldn't even count as that should basically be a draw regardless.
Yeah.
You know. But oh well. Coin toss it is, I guess.
Yeah. Well.
And that'll happen on next Wednesday.
Yeah. But so we'll bring you news with that.
And the whole thing essentially determines whether the Democrats get full power over the Virginia House and the
government. Mm-hmm.
If not, they have obviously one part missing, but that would be a big win for them if they can get all of it.
But all right, so moving on from there. Oh, Roy Moore, you're just the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah, Roy Moore still hasn't conceded that he lost. Not only that, but he's actually started posting some weird conspiracy shit on his Facebook page. Apparently, he thinks that a combined coalition of Muslims and Marxists made him lose. I would like to think first of all, the Muslim population of Alabama is really small.
Yeah, there's the whole thing about, people are trucking in voters from out of state to vote in there, fraudulently.
From a town that doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
And it ended up being about this one person that said he had moved from another state and then voted in this election.
Yeah.
He moved a year before, so he was eligible for it.
Yeah.
A registered voter. So it's like, okay, you guys... are really stupid. Then he started sharing an article about Carson Jones, Doug Jones' son, who is gay.
Yep.
And basically going all in on his very much homophobic beliefs. And for whatever reason, just posted the link itself. No real commentary on it. Which they had some great comments that they list here. Someone said, well, the way I see it, if God wanted us to be with men on men and women on women and black with white, he would have put us on earth that way. Guess what? We are not that way. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So with that said, don't push it on me. I get sick and tired of hearing this crap. As one long sentence.
Yeah.
Wow. Just like Obama and the Dems always trying to push it on us, letting men go to girls' bathrooms, just because one day they wake up and say, oh, today I am a woman. But to some, that is okay. Well, not by me. It is not okay. I don't stand for it. Two long sentences.
Yeah.
He's melting.
Okay, here's another one. Obviously, Jones. It's Joan apostrophe S. Was an absent father for his son to be a homosexual. If the election continues as is, he won't be much of a senator either. Shameless slander, a great Alabamian, Judge Moore, and then... the sick left winner shows its perversion. There's another one. Do you know what baby killers, homosexuals, so-called social elites, the underclasses, old hipsters, felons, socialists, college students, urban thugs, and white trash have in common? They elected Doug Jones.
Oh, the salt.
Yeah.
You lost, boy. Deal with it.
Oh, yeah, with my car trouble, I got to ride in my dad's truck and hear what conservative radio is doing today. Well, the big topic was...
Your day couldn't have been worse, could it?
Well, this was kind of humorous because the big topic that I heard, and there was like 4 hours difference between these two differences, was about why are liberals so unhappy? And like taking calls and all this stuff, and it's like, they should just be happy. No, because we have a thing called empathy.
Yeah.
We like everybody to be lifted up. And when things like the tax reform bill shits all over a large group of people, we're not happy.
Nope.
It's called being a patriotic American.
It's called being a human fucking being.
Yeah.
And it's like this whole like 4-hour radio show about why are liberals unhappy. That's just amusing to me.
Yeah. Well. All right. Well, moving on from there. Oh, God, this one. Yeah. Okay, so Trump had a nominee for a federal judge position. And so he nominated this guy. And he had to withdraw his name after the confirmation hearing. And if you have not seen the video of this confirmation hearing, oh, my God, you really need to.
He got dick exposed.
Oh, God, it was so funny and yet so painful at the same time.
Yeah, so this is for a lifetime federal judge position.
Yep.
And this guy, they were obviously questioning him.
Mm-hmm.
And just to show you how messed up this is, a Republican went in on him. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa basically asked him – or no, this specific question is from – John Kennedy of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
He says, have you ever tried a jury trial? Pearson says, I have not. Civil? No. Criminal? No. Bench? No. State or federal court? I have not. Some more from Kennedy. As a trial judge, you're obviously going to have witnesses. Can you tell me what the Dobert's standard is? Senator Kennedy, I don't have that readily at my disposal, but I would be happy to take a closer look at that. That is not something I've had to contend with. Do you know what a motion in limine is? Yes, I haven't. My background is not in litigation, as when I was replying to Chairman Grassley, I haven't had to, do a deep dive. So he doesn't seem to know much about.
I don't think he even wanted the job. His name just came up for no reason whatsoever.
Well, this is sort of what Trump is sort of secretly doing behind all this big stuff, is appointing a lot of, obviously, right. Judges to the federal court system, especially people that are unqualified.
Yeah.
They've had a couple of them get bounced recently. The other guy, Brett Talley, a 36-year-old lawyer, never tried a case, earned a rare and unanimous not qualified rating by the American Bar Association. That was the guy that just withdrew his nomination. Jeff Mateer is another one, who described transgender children as evidence of quote-unquote Satan's plan. Is not going to get approved either. So he's picking the best people possible.
Yeah.
All right, we can't.
Understand, the only reason he nominates these people is because they contributed to his campaign.
Yeah.
That's literally the only reason. He doesn't care anything about their qualifications. It's just a kickback. That's all.
And to put more conservatives on the federal court system.
Yeah. Okay, so next up we have this story here. The U.S. has officially announced that the WannaCry ransomware attack was apparently responsible of North Korea. For those who don't know how ransomware works, basically it's a program that uploads a virus on your computer, locks everything down, and basically gives you these instructions to do A, B, and C, usually wire a bunch of money somewhere, so that you can basically get your computer back. And apparently this particular ransomware attack was pretty vicious and indiscriminate. Phil apparently had to help someone with it fairly recently. Apparently the U.S. themselves are saying that it came from the North Koreans. Now, The reason I am skeptical about that is because anybody who's noticed recently is that the U.S. has basically been beating the war drums against North Korea for a few months now, and some of this is just a little too convenient for my taste. I'm not necessarily denying, though, that North Korea hasn't done any kind of cybercrime before, because they definitely have. Specifically this time, it was being done by a group called the Lazarus Group, which is a hacker group that's allied with North Korea's government, and supposedly they're using this money to help fund North Korea's nuclear weapons program. I'm not entirely sure, but
well, it says here the UK and Microsoft have similar conclusions.
Yeah, but yeah, so apparently it managed to get like billions of dollars. Apparently, yeah, that's a serious ransomware attack.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, if North Korea did do it, then why is the U.S. still holding Marcus Hutchins?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something else going on there.
Yeah, but moving on from there, we got some news from merry old England. Prime Minister Theresa May had to basically fire her Secretary of State because he was lying about his porn.
Okay.
Yeah, so this comes from at certain points a while ago, there was a computer raid in 2008 where the police found thousands of thumbnail pornographic images on his computer. So a question about it, and he said, no, that's not mine. There's nothing illegal there, but apparently he admitted to that not being the case. And so he essentially got investigated by the UK Cabinet Office that very much was not happy about the lie.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially led to Theresa May having to fire her Secretary of State, who was one of her closest allies in the cabinet.
So the story here is not that he had porn, it was that he lied about having porn.
And yeah. Nothing wrong about it, but... not supposed to lie about
weird.
It.
Okay.
Yeah, like it is in a lot of politics, it's not the act that is the problem, it's lying about it.
Yeah.
Maybe he just didn't think it was anybody's business what he was into.
Probably.
Well, that's the entire point. It is everybody's business when it's
you're a politician.
Being investigated.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to UK politics. Because they're vicious over there. You think America is bad? They basically ended up, there was a MP over there that basically lost his election because somebody took a picture of him when he was eating a bacon sandwich and plastered it all over the tabloids, and apparently it made such a bad impression on him, he ended up losing his election.
Yeah, I remember a bit that John Oliver showed of when David Cameron was the prime minister. One of the parliament members called him Dodgy Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that was a huge deal. Just saying dodgy apparently was a really offensive thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to apologize for it, and then they basically kicked him out of that session. He had to go home because he said Dodgy Dave. Whereas we got a president who says tons of nicknames like that.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody applauds him in his inner circle and all that.
Well, all right, but this next one's fine. Yeah, so you know how in Walt Disney World, we have the famous Hall of Presidents attraction?
Oh, God, yes.
Now, the Hall of Presidents is actually one of my favorite parts. The animatronics have actually gotten a lot better. there, back when I went there, of course, Barack Obama was still president. And, you know, he had his animatronic there, and it was really good. You know, they had Abe Lincoln do an animatronic version of his speech of the Gettysburg Address, and it was pretty good. They got a bunch of like actual like presidential artifacts in there, including the original, like, you know how like in the Oval Office they have like that carpet with like the Great Seal on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the over at Walt Disney World, they've got they actually replaced that carpet, I think, a few years ago, and that carpet piece is now housed at the Hall of Presidents. So, but for those of you who don't know, they have to add a new animatronic for every new president. And guess who our current president is? You can guess that they probably had a little work cut out for them.
Yeah.
And so they made it, and he's there now. And you can only polish a turd so much.
The hell happened here?
Yeah, it's a it's a nightmare.
Bits from Seth Meyers and the Daily Show about this that was really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
As well as people doing a lot of good stuff on Twitter, like having shown the bit where the Trump wax figure is talking and inserting the Billy Bush tape in there.
Oh.
Which is great.
Oh god.
As well as people putting like the Curb Your Enthusiasm music in there, other stuff like that. It's really fun stuff, especially because they have all the other presidents there staring at him.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously have their various facial features where there's Abe Lincoln's like sitting on a chair. It's like, now two terrible things has happened to me in a theater.
You know, part of me thinks that Disney is actually trolling at this point.
No, they definitely are.
Somebody, there are people suggesting that this was actually a Hillary statue that was somehow retrofitted to look more like Trump.
Well, you know, I mean, if you look at it, there's a basis there.
Yeah. They basically had to scramble.
Whoops.
Because, unfortunately, they, like far too many of us, thought a little too highly of the American electorate. Well, the American Electoral College, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Because, again, he didn't win the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, so, moving on.
I have just converted all matter in the universe to paperclips, so...
Yeah. Wonderful. That's, good.
Not sure where to go from there, but okay, yeah. Next story.
All right, so, we got another story out of Merry Old England. There was a, wine and cheese tasting event. It's called the Giant Cheese Board Festival. And they had a little problem. Basically, it was people are accusing them of false advertising. They lied to them, scammed people out of up to 40 pounds, won't refund. Basically, the big thing is apparently they ran out of wine and cheese that was to be unlimited.
Ooh.
That's like... The number one thing you're not supposed to do for these things is not run out of the thing that everybody's coming for.
Yeah.
One job.
Yeah.
It's like either limit the amount of tickets you're selling that for that stuff, or you have tons of it.
Hmm.
And apparently there were big long lines of people waiting for, you know, their cheese and their wine and end up getting like a little paper cup with a little bit of... It wasn't like actual wine. It was like watered down wine.
Oof.
Like lower alcohol wine.
Oh, that is... There are parts in Europe where that's cause for a war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like cheese, like people fighting over scraps of Camembert and stuff like that. It's just...
See, back in the Middle Ages, that would get a village burned to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like the...
You don't fuck with people's alcohol and cheese. God damn it.
Yeah.
This is like the British version of the Fire Festival.
Yeah.
Where instead of rich millennials, it's the British people that want to get drunk and eat some cheese.
Mm. Yeah, see, the problem is they advertised unlimited wine and cheese. What they really needed to do was hire a Verizon marketing person. Then they could have spun it as a, quote, unlimited plan.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Funny.
True.
All right. All right. Next up, we've got a we got a story from Canada, and this story is just very Canadian.
Well, there's the I'll do. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wait.
So a man in Ottawa got a ticket for leaving his car unlocked in Quebec.
Yeah, so basically there is a law in Quebec that you cannot leave your car parked and unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy, you know, nothing was stolen from his car, nothing. He just forgot to lock it when he left. Came back to a $52 ticket, so now he's lost $52.
What? Why are police walking around in Quebec looking for unlocked cars?
Because everybody is so polite there that they have to make up new laws.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they don't get their quota.
No, because the Quebec government is fucking broke.
Yeah, that's actually the real reason.
Okay.
Yeah, so the cops go around, jiggle your handles, and see who's got the loose locks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as an Illinois resident, I'm keeping my mouth shut.
By the way, it wouldn't have taken him long to find out that he had had something stolen from the car anyway, because they would have left an apology note on the windshield.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, there's more. If he's going to fight the ticket, if he loses, he'll have to pay another $89 in court fees.
Yeah. Mm.
Sorry we took your laptop, eh?
That will never not be funny.
Yeah.
All right. By the way,
we have similar laws here where we can't leave a car running without being in it.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of a cop catching anybody in that act.
Yeah,
it's too fucking cold, and they're like, yeah, that's fine. Just don't let it run for too long.
Where was he parked?
Law, I'm sure, that, you know, you're not supposed to leave a kid in a car or something like that, but
people do that anyway.
Let's see, where was he at?
7-Eleven. No, I'm just, I don't know.
He's at the Baton Rouge. He said, I can be parked here. Or, no, he was talking about the cop. He said, I have to give you a ticket. I said, it's okay, I'm at the Baton Rouge, I can be parked here. He said, no, it's for not having your car doors locked. Of 467 tickets they've given out so far in 2017 for this.
Yeah.
It's down from 517 last year. So I got to work in overtime for the holidays to get their numbers up.
Yeah. Restaurants, stuff, public stuff, that's generally they check more. If your car is parked on the street, chances are you're not going to check there.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says he was in the restaurant for about 2 minutes before returning to lock the car when he realized that. So the officer said, too late, and he was just doing his job. Instead of catching people breaking the cars, they are punishing people who are not committing a crime. In my case, someone who was in the process of complying with a bylaw I did not know existed.
Yeah, well.
You know now.
Oh, here's a good quote. He had, the nanny state. Next time I visit, I will lock the doors but leave the windows rolled down. As I read it, that is not technically illegal. Any other stupid bylaws I should be aware of?
sorry, but ignorance isn't an excuse.
Nope.
But still, that'd be nice to see him just leave the back window down. See how that goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on from there. Oh, this is just. So there was this elderly couple that was going down to Nebraska for Christmas. They got pulled over. And they were discovered possessing 60 pounds of marijuana that they were going to go give away as gifts.
I want to be adopted.
I need these people in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about $336,000 worth of weed. They said we're going to get wrapped up as Christmas gifts.
Yeah, right,
How
buddy.
How many people is on their Christmas list?
And can I be on it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Are you taking volunteers?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the season.
They found some of this weed in one old cheddar cheese ball container full of marijuana. Oh, like that big plastic jug. Like they have pretzels or animal crackers or cheese balls or this stuff in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 60 pounds. That's just insane.
Yeah, like the big problem is they're driving across state lines into a state that doesn't allow marijuana.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's kind of a problem we're having here in the U.S. now. It's especially going to be an issue once California legalizes it, because, which, by the way, that happens 1st of January, and that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, so they were driving from Clear Lakes, California, to Vermont.
Yeah,
wow.
They're going to dole out nugs to friends and family, like apparently.
Epic road trip.
That is a hell of a long drive.
How did they not make you the other week? Because they got busted?
pretty much.
Yeah. But, oh, jeez.
Lord.
I got a sneaking suspicion that once California does end up legalizing it and it's on the books, the other states are just going to have to follow suit. I mean, it's one of those things. California leads and they tend to follow. So,
yeah. All right. So next up, we got another Canadian story. So there's this street in Canada that is called Swastika Trail. It was actually named that before World War II, like long before World War II. And they actually had a vote recently on whether or not they changed the name, and they decided to keep it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I'm okay with that because, you know, fuck Hitler. You know, it's not their fault that he ruined it for everybody.
Yeah.
And there's some great quotes in here, like, I am proud to live on Swastika Trail.
So I'm going to guess, is this a somehow Native American, First Nations related? Because for those who don't know, here in the Americas, especially in North America, swastikas were a pretty common symbol for Native American tribes.
It doesn't necessarily mention the origin of this specific name.
Yeah, I'm making a guess that may be where it originated from.
Yeah, it might be, because they call them delegations.
Yeah.
To speak at this council. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if you know Puzzlinch, Ontario?
Never been there, but, you know.
They say 18 kilometers southeast of Guelph. G-U-E-L-P-H.
Yeah. It's probably a small town.
Yeah. I mean, it mentions like 7,000 people.
Oh, yeah, that's a small town.
Community about 7,000 people, yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of okay with this. I mean,
yeah.
As long as you have context for it.
Yeah. I think they understand that there's
just have a sign hanging down, Swastika Trail, not the Nazi thing.
Yeah.
Swastika Trail, not that one.
Yeah.
We're not Nazis.
Yeah.
That's just what the Nazis would say.
Yeah.
Next up, one of my least favorite people on the planet, Vince McMahon. He's been making noise that he's thinking about bringing back the XFL. Do we need to explain what the XFL was?
It was like macho version of the NFL before the NFL became that.
Yeah. And the NFL's already pretty goddamn macho, so you got to imagine. Yeah. XFL was like, imagine NFL, but like NFL Monday Night Raw. That's basically what the XFL was.
It's like the
was.
ECW to the WWF of
pretty much.
Professional football.
Hmm.
So Vince McMahon sold off about 3.34 million shares of WWE, about $100 million, to set up this new company, separate entity from the WWE, called Alpha Entertainment. That's a very Vince McMahon name.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's established to, what they say, explore investment opportunities across the sports and entertainment landscapes, including professional football. They've also renewed trademarks related to the XFL in the past week or so. So it seems likely that that is somewhere that they're going to go, because I think he was one of the people that was not – has not been happy about the protests in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So be some weird way of trying to create like the conservative NFL.
Okay.
Which is a weird thing.
God, that is just an odd – just an odd phrase.
Yeah,
the more conservative NFL. Yeah.
Except, remember, again, this is the XFL we're talking about.
Yeah.
And the only way this would be the considered the – this would basically be the conservative XFL, the way that Fox News likes to do those – though every year they love to do those annual things on spring break, where on the one they'll have like two screens, and on like one screen it'll be like Sean Hannity or somebody talking to folks, talking about, oh, this is just horrible, all the young people and their riotous behavior. And then on the other screen they'll have all the gratuitous shots of the teenagers in their bikinis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and, you know, it's going to be like, we're doing the XFL for God in America. And then there'll be like a bunch of, you know, cheerleaders and skimpy American flag bikinis twerking. You know, it's.
Yeah.
You just described exactly what's wrong with America.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the XFL had like two good things that came out of it. First one was He Hate Me.
Mm-hmm. That was not a good thing.
The most famous player to come out of it, as well as the whole camera system that they came up there, that is now like a big thing in the NFL now, where if you see like the wires that are hanging above the field with the camera that sort of zips around,
yeah,
to get shots of, they were trying to do this recently on Thursday Night Football to kind of get a camera view that looks a bit more like Madden.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of all came out of the XFL.
Yeah,
which was a really cool system. I don't know about watching the whole game.
Too bad it was wasted on such a shit league.
Yeah, well, now the NFL has it, so.
Yeah.
Remember the part about no fair catch rule?
Yeah.
You just go ahead and smear the returner the moment he touches the football.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of fun, I guess. But
they did have a pretty cool way of determining who got the ball at the beginning, because they just had two players stand at the end zone and just launched a football across the field, and they had to run and go see who got it first. It's like, instead of doing the coin flips or anything like that.
Mm.
It's like, here, you just go run at the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but go ahead.
Maybe they could make the field wider, or maybe have four downs. Just crazy idea.
Mm.
Also, Canadian football does that.
Yeah. By the way, so yeah, like I said, Vince McMahon is one of my least favorite people on the planet. Not just because of the way that, you know, he basically humiliated members of his family week after week in the ring for a long, long time. Anybody ever seen that documentary Beyond the Mat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much Exhibit A as far as I'm concerned. It's not. It's him and his business practices are just awful.
Yeah, though I would probably put him objectifying his teenage daughter on national television be pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And her getting a boob job, all that, too.
Yeah.
Other wrestlers humiliate her, talk about her boobs all the time.
Yep.
The fuck?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this happened on national television.
This is what happens when you have a business that kind of grew out of the carny atmosphere.
Yeah. But,
I mean, you add that to all of the racist caricatures that wrestlers did over the years.
Oh, yes, like the Iron Sheik, Yokozuna.
Those are tame. There's just lots of shit. Probably just look it up, like the worst.
Nation of Domination, which was basically a Nation of Islam ripoff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And they still do some of that shit today, too.
Yeah, there's... They have some recent new guys that are from the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And they very much do all sorts of terrible shit. They can't... So when 9/11 happened, they had a Middle Eastern wrestler who was going to do a storyline or a bit about bombing buildings, like terrorism stuff. They canceled that shit very fast after 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Gee.
Yeah, they've had, like, Native Islanders. There's Kamala, if you remember him.
Oh, yeah.
The black man who pretended to be, like, the crazy Islander dude.
Yeah.
Lots of weird shit like that. God, WCW damn. Had the Harlem brothers who...
Harlem Heat.
Two black guys who are out of...
Yeah.
Supposed to be out of Harlem in New York, but they're both from Texas.
Yeah.
They had awesome theme music, though.
Yeah, they were great, but there's insidious shit under some of these great guys.
Yeah. But, alright, so, moving on, we got some sports news. We got a sort of thing of sports news. First of all, Martin Perez, who is pitcher for the Texas Rangers, actually broke his non-pitching arm after bull incident. Okay, someone needs to explain this one to me.
So, he lives in Venezuela, and I guess because it's in the off-season, he's down there. He has a ranch with bulls and other stuff, and apparently he had, a bull start coming towards him, and he freaked out to get out of the way and landed on his elbow and broke it. So this is just one of those weird incidents that sometimes happens to athletes. They mention here a pitcher who also was for the Texas Rangers a few years ago who had a big knee injury in the offseason. He blamed on his enthusiastic dog pushing him down the steps.
I believe it. Man, sometimes pets want to flat out kill you.
I want to say there was some athlete that claimed he was trying to cook pancakes and then hurt himself.
Okay.
I forget what the whole thing about that was. Okay, this is the NHL. Kings Dustin Penner injures himself while eating a stack of delicious pancakes.
I don't know this guy, but I like him. I could so relate to him.
He says here, I woke up fine, sat down to eat, and it locked right up. It never happened before. I couldn't stand up. I was probably at the third stage of evolution. So my wife helped me get dressed, and I drove to the rink here to hope they could do some magic and get it opened up. The trainer just looked at me and said, go home. So I got some treatment and went home. It's one of those mysterious things where you can throw out his back, I think it was. From sneezing, I just leaned over to dip in some delicious pancakes that my wife made. It's just like the pain wraps around you and squeezes, so it was disappointing. Well, it's just an isolated incident, not something that's going to become chronic.
The definition
those are
of
some heavy-ass pancakes.
Those must have been some amazing pancakes.
Yeah.
God, that was so good, it threw my back out.
I've sneezed hard enough to do that, but I've never had anything pancake related.
Not yet, at least.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Well, now we got a former NBA player, Charlie Villanueva.
Yep.
Villanueva.
Yeah, it's Villanueva.
Villanueva, okay.
Wow.
His home was burglarized. And apparently, whoever the assholes that did it, they actually stole his toilet.
Yeah, there are pictures of it here, and these are professionals that just managed to take out the toilet. No, like, mess or anything like that, so they apparently, it must be plumbers.
Yeah.
What did he have, like, one of those $3,000 Japanese Toto toilets?
No, I think he just had a normal toilet.
Somebody didn't like that man.
Yeah, he had some nice tweets.
That's just an act of malice.
Yeah, saying appliance is all gone. Like, are you serious? This is mind blowing. At Dallas PD, I'm still tripping. Who steals a toilet? Like, why a toilet?
Yeah,
one toilet. Still not at my Dallas PD. Still not at my house. Like, he's been he called them and has been waiting for the toilet for them to come in, you know, check out his place, waiting for 2 hours. So he's just been tweeting here. I'm still in shock of the things they stole, but the one that stands out most is a toilet. Bro, a toilet. Can't get my mind off that. A toilet. Wow. And he puts like 5 toilet emojis on his tweet. Yeah, that's still kind of crazy. Another Twitter user created the handle @stolen_toilet and responded to one of Villanueva's tweets by asking, Charlie, are you looking for me?
Because of course.
Man,
he got his house broken into, but now he's got a story to tell his kids.
Yeah. True.
You got to lock down your toilet before you leave the house from now on.
Yeah. Well, at least this way he can maybe he had the thing insured.
I would hope so. I don't.
Maybe he can go and now actually buy one of those expensive Japanese toilets.
Yeah. Got to get his toilet insurance somehow.
Yeah. So we got another story from a former NBA player to current NBA player Evan Turner. So Evan Turner wakes up. He goes out to his pool, and a semi-truck has crashed in it.
Yeah, so this was a garbage truck. Not like a garbage truck, but sort of had a trailer that had a bunch of like dirt and trash in it.
Oh, one of those, yeah.
Yeah, and so you can see from the pictures here, he has a friend that had a drone and let him fly it to take these pictures. And got some really good footage of this big truck. That just seemed to go off the road and just crash right down into the backyard of his place. He wrote here, there are only a few positives that you can take from a semi-truck crashing into your pool. One, the driver in the accident is going to survive. Two, I finally get to put insurance to use after paying for years and years not knowing if I'd ever need it. Which, you know you're in a place when you're excited to use your insurance finally.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Number three,
yeah,
my good buddy taught me how to fly his drone so we can take pics. And four, this is the biggest one, everyone survived. We could have all been dead before Christmas and missed out on all the gifts. # God is good.
Except for that truck driver guy who is now fired.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he got some really great pictures of this thing. Has like a pretty cool video of it zooming in from the crash, flying back out to show you like the scale of all this. Meanwhile, you can see pictures of him in his robe just hanging out. Like, yep, there's a truck in my pool.
Yeah. So stuff like this actually happens more commonly than you think.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of truck drivers tend to drive illegally. You're only supposed to run 11 hours a day. Some of them will run off books.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's actually because, believe it or not, some of those truck companies actually make them do that.
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
Even though they're legally not supposed to.
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, and they get those caffeine pills and all that to try and keep them awake.
Yeah.
Which only works for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have seen one trucking company harangue a driver so bad about getting a shipment in on time, he had a heart attack.
Yeah. There's a reason stuff like, you know, speed and, you know, shit like that is rampant in the truck driving community.
Yeah.
'Cause they need that shit.
And yep. There's reason why stuff like the Tesla trucks are going to do great things for sort of getting rid of the need for the human element, as well as completely devastate large parts of this country, because the trucking industry is a huge part of the economy in many of these states in our country.
Yeah, that's, I'm not holding out much hope on that Tesla truck, honestly.
No, but there's some big names sort of putting in some early orders on stuff like
Coca-Cola. Yeah, well, they're Walmart and stuff like that. They're putting in orders. It kind of makes a little bit more sense for them because those trucks are going to be typically used for store deliveries. Those are shorter runs, and the other bigger problem with that truck is we don't know what the weight of it is. So if most of that is batteries, that takes down the amount of cargo that you can haul with it.
Oh, God, no. They know the weight of it. It's on the shipping manifest.
Oh, Tesla knows what the weight of it is, but they haven't revealed what it is yet.
Well, oh, I thought you meant shipping batteries.
No, that, like, yeah, that's.
They're always gonna know. They're always gonna know the tear weight on everything.
Yeah, but like right now, the how much that tractor is going to weigh is still up in the air. The more batteries you put in, more it's going to weigh, and the less cargo you could put in. So, yeah, it's going to be probably for companies like Walmart, Target, and those shops that do day deliveries to stores. It's probably going to be okay because they're not really too worried about long distance. But, yeah, over the road, not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, it'll probably good from, like, warehouses, stores type stuff.
Yep.
A lot of the traffic, at least in the U.S., for that kind of thing, goes on rails anyway. It goes from the port to the rails and then on the truck. So it's usually a short haul for the truck, you know, unless there's, you know, some sort of problem with the rail or it's a really hot load, and then they'll team drive it and they will drive it cross country. But it's expensive as fuck.
Yeah. Got a friend who's been doing truck driving for about 16 years now, so I've got some info on that.
Speaking of hot loads.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. So the Coast Guard... okay, so as everybody knows, every so often you'll get nets and stuff that'll get left in the sea, and of course, random sea creatures will get caught in them. Well, the Coast Guard found this sea turtle that had managed to tangle itself up in a $53 million worth of cocaine that was off the Florida coast.
Yeah, so these are wrapped in plastic bales, strung together with rope, and this turtle happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So apparently they suggest that these are likely jettisoned by smugglers on a go-fast boat, where when they run into the Coast Guard, they drop their load and are able to go fast and outrun them.
Yeah.
Han Solo, huh?
Yep. They found this guy had 26 packages, which is about 1,800 pounds worth of cocaine.
Damn.
And about 75 feet of rope were used in all of this, which they obviously had to sort of untie the turtle from it, as well as just get this all together and make sure nobody else, no other animals got hurt in it.
Yeah. Talk about the weird thing to find.
Yep.
But, wow. Nobody got arrested because nobody was around, obviously.
Yeah.
But,
nuts.
Yeah. And, I don't know, I guess the sea turtle's first words were, what are you, a fucking narc?
Yeah. I don't think the turtle was using.
No.
Didn't look like he was having a good time.
Well, nobody's going to be having that good of a time after that much blow.
No. I mean, we all remember the last few scenes of, Scarface, right?
Yeah.
All right, this next one is just fucking... You know what? I'm going to go ahead and read you the headline. Loud orgies of Mexican fish could deafen dolphins, say scientists.
It's one of the best titles I've ever seen.
Yeah, okay, so there's a fish called the Gulf Corvina. And it has a mating call that it gives out. And this mating call has been compared to sounding like a really loud machine gun. And when it decides to, you know, go into mating, it amasses together in giant orgiastic balls that are so loud they can actually deafen the other sea animals.
Yeah, they're talking about under the water, so you can't necessarily hear it that well outside of the water.
No.
Yeah.
But and some people think the neighbors are bad.
Well, underwater.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have a spawning session they go to once a year in the Gulf Coast in Mexico at the Colorado River Delta, which the big problem is this mating is loud enough that it has attracted fishers to basically go through with nets and swap up huge tons of these fish. They talk about here a single boat with one net can harvest 2 tons of corvina, which the fish itself grows about a meter in length, 3.3 feet, and can weigh about 26 pounds. So that is a ton of fish, a ton of weight to get.
Mm-hmm.
And they say about a fleet of 500 boat nets can get about 2 million of these fish each spawning season, which means they're very much vulnerable to extinction if nothing happens.
Right.
This stuff. So it's like a weird, it's a weird article because you come in like thinking, oh, this can be hilarious. It's like all of these things are so loud they've attracted, you know, the eyes of fishermen, and could potentially go extinct because of this.
Yep. Like, well, shit.
Keep it down. Jeez.
Yeah.
At least they're going out with a bang.
I don't even know if they're that good to eat either. That's the question about it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess
but
for sure people don't really care too much.
Yeah. So, all right. So next story is from India. So as everybody knows, India has a really bad smog problem. Like it's actually even worse than China. Like the apparently in New Delhi, the smog on a bad day can be like 10 times worse than it is in Beijing.
Hmm.
So
yeah, they note here that it's about 15 times the World Health Organization's safe maximum.
Yep.
Bananas.
Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the sacrifice you make when you're trying to industrialize your country.
Very rapidly.
Yeah. Mm. But so apparently Delhi is now testing a water mist cannon so that they can actually tackle the smog problem.
Yeah, so this comes from a company called CloudTech that says they can blast up to 100 liters of water per minute into the skies. It supposedly clear up about 95% of those airborne pollutants.
Hmm.
Which,
interesting approach to it.
Yeah, it's like,
and like, could really, it really be that simple?
Well, they're going to find out as they're testing this stuff.
Yeah.
Is it going to end up raining the pollutants plus the water? I mean,
definitely. I mean, wouldn't that actually cause acid rain?
Right?
Yeah, that's, I'm guessing testing will need to be done.
Yeah.
A lot.
And then, I mean, water in parts of India is a commodity. I mean,
yeah.
So, you know, they're going to have to find a way to work around all that.
Yeah, they have quotes here from Greenpeace essentially suggesting this is just not an actual solution to the problem. It's just a potential, like, temporary thing.
Mm-hmm.
It could create more problems. I mean, what if the water's polluted and they all get, like, malaria or something? What? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, moving on. We got this next story. So, yeah, you don't want to focus on that too long. It gets a little too depressing.
Yeah.
So next up, so about 100 or so years ago, Australia launched their first submarine, and then it quickly disappeared.
Yep.
But I know there's a joke in there somewhere, but by God, I cannot figure it out.
Yeah, so they ended up finding this thing off the coast of the Duke of York Islands, off of Papua New Guinea.
Hmm.
Didn't get very far. No, which makes sense. Like, your first submarine's probably not going, you know, halfway across the world, especially in 1914.
Right.
Ended up taking down all 35 crew members with it.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's their longest sort of open mystery with their naval department. So they luckily managed to solve this mystery and now can put their efforts to other things, because this is their 13th attempt to try to find this thing, and happened to be the one that worked.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll probably also be able to do some forensics and find out what the heck happened.
Yeah.
So, hopefully.
Not that it matters much at this point, but 103 years later.
Well, now we got some tech news, and let's be honest, I think a lot of us already knew this, but Apple basically openly admits to slowing down the CPUs of old iPhones with deteriorating batteries.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's define deteriorating here. They are saying that, well, I don't know if Apple is saying, but what I was reading is that, you know, lithium-ion batteries do lose their potency over time, obviously. We all know that.
Yeah.
And after a few years, they're operating at 70% of their original efficiency. So my husband has an iPhone 6 Plus that is lagging like a son of a bitch trying to play Pokemon Go.
And now you know why.
Oh, no, we know why. We know why. As soon as iOS 11 came out, along with the launch of the iPhone 8, once again, that battery issue came up where it will say it's dead and it shuts off and it's still doing this. Okay, that was back in like, what the fuck, August, September when they launched?
Yeah.
And he goes out the other day to take a Pokemon gym. At 92%, the goddamn thing shuts off.
Yeah, so his battery is hosed at this point.
Oh, I'm sure it is, because that is his primary computing device outside of work. So we can easily pay, what, $79, and Apple will replace the battery, or we could pay somebody else and they could do it cheaper, or we could do it ourselves, but I'm not interested in doing that at this point in my life. I've done it before on older phones. I'm not messing with the newer ones.
Yeah,
so, well, yeah, firstly, consumers, all of us, are still, except for probably Pat, buying phones that do not have easily replaceable batteries. So, you know, that sucks. But secondly, even if we put out the money to replace this goddamn battery, the software's still going to slow down the phone.
Actually, not in this case.
No, not in this case?
No.
How?
What's happening is what iOS is doing is looking at the battery, at the voltage droop of the battery. If it sees that at a certain charge the voltage to the CPU starts to drop, it will throttle the CPU back. You replace the battery, you're not going to have that voltage droop, so it's not going to slow it down.
So it's a stability fix.
Yeah. Technically, what they're actually doing is basically when a phone is new, they're actually overclocking it out of the box.
Yeah.
And then as the battery starts to degrade, they just bring the speed of the CPU down. So, yeah, not a great explanation from them, but it's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the sort of thing, like, they have this feature. It should be disclosed to the user and made an option. Do you want to have it just take care of the CPU as the battery degrades, or do you want to be able to have it just go max out no matter what
your
situation is.
Yeah,
but Apple also, is never going to give us that choice.
You should also at least tell the person using the phone what state their battery is in.
Yeah, and that is a key complaint that that Scott had, is you could easily have this information available to us, you know, diagnostics on the phone without us having to download some third-party app that probably isn't going to work very well anyway.
Yeah, that's how this was discovered, was a third-party app called CPU-X. And he showed a screenshot of his phone before he got the battery replaced. It was showing 600 megahertz for the CPU. Mm. When he got it back, it was at 1,400.
Half.
Yeah.
Less than half.
Damn, what was that app called again?
CPU-X.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, try that out. <You're
probably surprised. laughs> Try that out, then we'll take a little trip to the Apple store and we'll try it out again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after they replace the battery.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you would think Apple would jump at the chance to be able to have a thing that says, hey, your battery's hosed, get a new phone or get it replaced.
Yeah.
Actually, Apple doesn't like doing that. They like just... that's why if you go in with a bad $2 part on your motherboard for a MacBook, say... they're going to say, no, we're not going to replace the $2 part because
something else on the motherboard might fail, they're going to replace the whole motherboard. They mm-hmm. have that overzealous approach because, you know, they're not building a computer as a consumer. They're yeah. trying to protect their image in the eyes of the consumer as it just works. but they're very overzealous. They would rather sell you a new phone than replace your battery. Absolutely. Yeah.
On the upside, Samsung has a brand new marketing campaign already laid out for them. Performance day one. Performance day 30. Performance yeah. day 365.
I love those Samsung ads because then you can just say, last year your phones were exploding. It's like you're making fun of Apple for, you know, the weird like the zombiness of their users just lining up for the new phone, whether it's adding anything of note or just taking away features even. But it's like your phone exploded so much the governments and all the airlines had to step in and say, we're not letting this phone on our planes anymore.
Yeah, well, if you're going to fail, at least fail spectacularly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess nobody talks about that anymore, so that
nope.
whatever they marketing campaign they did.
Right. Yeah. All right, well, next up, it's our entertainment section. NBC is actually considering a revival of The Office for the 2018-2019 season, and they want to do it with some of the original cast.
Yeah, but not Michael Scott. Steve Carell. He's definitely yeah. going to be there.
Yeah.
So it's like this... You guys ended it pretty well, all the mm-hmm. things considering. Just either start up a new group in some new location, or just not do this. But
yeah.
They're thinking about relaunching a bunch of stuff after Will and Grace has done pretty well.
Yeah.
I think 30 Rock is also up for potentially being revived as well.
I'm more interested.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was just going to say I'm more interested in the upcoming revival of the IT Crowd. So
yes, IT Crowd and 30 Rock. I think that, you know, I could die happy at the end of next year.
Yeah.
If it happens.
Yeah. Well, IT Crowd probably will happen. So.
I hope
if you haven't watched that show, it's awesome. So yeah. Anyways.
All right. Can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, just making sure. All right. So next up, we now know why the porgs exist in Star Wars. apparently it's because so the island that they were shooting on for the with Rey and Luke scenes
has Skellig Michael.
Yeah. Has a fairly sizable population of puffin penguins. puffin birds.
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently they looked at those and they thought, "Oh god, they're so cute. How can we make money off of this?" And the porgs were born.
Yeah, so
that's not exactly how I heard the story going down there.
Yeah, the whole thing with that is they're a protected species, especially on this island, and also it being sort of a wildlife preserve in itself for the whole island.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing their filming, and sort of the best time they could do the filming was during the mating season for the puffins. So they're all over the island. As he says here, let's see. So we were briefed. From what I gathered, Ryan had gone to shoot a sequence on Skellig Michael, which is a real island location it stands in for. I did not know what that island's name was in Star Wars. It's like Ahch-To, A-H-C-H-O-T-O. And that island is covered in puffins. It's a wildlife preserve, and everywhere you look, there are hundreds of birds dotted around the landscape. From what I gathered, Ryan, in a positive spin on this, was looking at how he can work with this. You can't remove them. You can't physically get rid of them, and digitally removing them is an issue and a lot of work. So let's just roll with it, play with it. And so I think he thought, well, that's great. Let's have our own indigenous species. We already started working on the caretakers, which are the frog people that are on that island, which, again, was a brief from Ryan. We'd just been told, puffin people. Yeah, there was going to be this race of people, and puffins, again, were a source of inspiration for Ryan. The puffins were sort of a big influence on everything, really. Which makes a lot of sense, because we've seen from, you know, like Justice League, that removing things digitally can look really good, but when it goes bad, it goes real bad.
Oh, yes.
And these puffins, in the right shots, you're not going to have to do anything at all, really, because when they're flying, it's like you're not going to have to do anything because nobody's going to be like, oh, are those actually the pugs or are those the puffins? But when you have, you know, the close-ups, you're going to be able to have the porgs just CG'd over them, and they're just going to look just as cute as the puffins are. Which I saw lots of pictures of puffins, like those things look like cartoons. Always like a sly look on them. I would have been fine if they just let the puffins stay. Just had space puffins.
Yeah, but they had the Star Wars it up.
Yeah. But hey, now they got... The last shot was really good for wildlife species design. There's some really cool ones in there.
Hey, it's not Jar Jar Binks. So.
No, it's not Jar Jar, and that's a plus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I'm kind of okay with the porgs.
Yeah,
they're cute and they don't really get in the way. So,
yeah, there's.
See, the porgs kind of freak me out though because they basically look like, you know, little like birds that have had their beaks torn off.
They're like guinea pig.
Yeah,
birds.
Yeah. I think that they're probably sort of more mammal than bird.
I don't know. Chewbacca doesn't care either way.
Yeah,
they're like goddamn scribbles before
him. He tries to eat one, and they just start staring at him with those big eyes, and he's like, "Ah, oh, fuck you, assholes! I can't eat you."
I mean, it's already dead. You might eat it.
Yeah, but they're staring at him like,
"I know."
What did you do?
And then they get into the Falcon, and then
is that
flies.
Jimmy?
Yeah,
that's my buddy. What'd you do to him?
All right, well, finally, our last story for the night. Netflix helped a man propose to his girlfriend with the help of the Santa Clarita Diet stars. God.
This is a really cool video.
What the fuck is this? Is that a movie?
It's a show on Netflix. It's about cannibalism.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, people in, like, Southern California, like, rich people doing cannibalism for whatever reason. I haven't watched it. I just looked at the description. I was like, okay, that's interesting. So he got in touch with Netflix, and they came up with this whole bit where they convinced his girlfriend that they were going to be part of a reality TV show where they, I guess, watch various things on Netflix and review it or whatever. So they sit down to watch the first show, and it's this couch with Drew Barrymore and Timothy Olyphant sitting on the couch talking about mentioning their two names. All of a sudden, the guy sits down with them and makes a, you know, reference to potentially popping the question or whatever. And so he's sitting there, pulls the ring out from the shelf behind them, behind their couch, basically says, you know, this is not a show, it's not real, and, you know, pops the question. And it's a pretty cool little bit they did for this couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although if you're gonna propose, at least be a man about it.
Yeah.
Don't go. If you're cool with it, I'd rather be your husband. Seriously.
By the way, for those who are wondering, the Santa Clarita Diet, it's basically about this guy whose wife dies, and then she comes back to life as a zombie, and so she craves human flesh.
Okay, that's what.
So
Weird.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what Netflix is doing now is weird shit.
Yeah, well.
Somebody's doing weird shit.
Yeah. All right, well, we got a show, folks.
Yep,
so.
Technical difficulties and all.
Yeah, so. I would like to remind the people who are listening, if you would like to write into the show, have a question you want to ask us, want to send in your weird, like, 1,000-page political manifesto about how the Queen of England is controlling the narcotics trade, something like that, you can write into us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, on top of iTunes, you can find our little completely unsupervised shit show at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and basically any other place where you can listen to fine podcasts like ours. So, I have been your host for the most, Brandon Perkins. I would like to wish everybody who is celebrating it a Merry Christmas. If you're not, well, just do what everybody else does and just stay in, get some Chinese food, and get drunk.
You do you, folks.
Maybe go see a movie. Yeah, so for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logie, and Teresa Sam, it's like to say goodnight.